Good morning. Good morning. If you can take your seats, we'll go ahead and get going. We've got a big 2 days in front of us. Good morning. I'll try one more time. Good morning. Thank you. Thank you. So thank you very much for coming being with us at the BizTalk Integration Summit 2013. I'm Mark Mortimore. I'm really pleased to be here with you today. We have an amazing lineup for the next 2 days. Before we begin, I just wanted to get a little bit of a feel of who's here with us in the room. So how many of the folks here in the room are MVPs and integration partners? Yeah, raise your hands. And look around, you know, folks in the room at who these folks are. How many of you here are customers? Fantastic, that's awesome. How many of you here are Microsoft people? Make yourself be seen. Okay, the Microsoft folks who are here aren't here on accident. They didn't just stumble into the room. They're all integration experts as well and able to help you and engage with you throughout the next 2 days. So please, if you see someone with a red badge, then hit them up if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for improvement. This is going to be a full day. We have a strong agenda today. Starting off this morning, I'd like to introduce, with no further ado, Scott Guthrie, who's going to kick off our Integration Summit keynote. Scott, thank you so much.
Right, thanks. Thank you. Thanks. Perfect. People hear me okay? Great. Well, thank you very much for coming out here and spending the time with us today. I know the team and I are really excited both to see everyone here, have a chance to spend some time chatting with you about kind of our integration plans, and actually hopefully also share with you some of the great improvements that we've done, and pretty excited to have some announcements today that we think hopefully both attest to kind of where we're going and hopefully where we're going together. This is actually the second annual BizTalk Summit. We did our first one about the same time this time last year. It's kind of great to see how much enthusiasm there was to do a second one. And hopefully also, you know, I think one of the things that I kind of was excited looking at this deck and then also remembering what we talked about last year is looking at some of the progress that we've made together, hopefully in that time. You know, I think last year a lot of people were worried, hey, are we interested in integration? Are we serious about BizTalk? And that was one of the reasons why we organized the summit to begin with. And we talked about last year a bunch of the things that we wanted to do from a roadmap perspective and from a product perspective. And I think kind of looking back at the deck that we announced last year, and we look at the deck and the announcements this year, you know, basically everything we said we were going to do last year, we did. And we also are going to talk more about kind of what we're doing over the next couple years. And I think hopefully this is the start of a regular set of summits and a pretty rolling set of regular product updates that I think are going to bring the integration space forward and hopefully kind of be pretty exciting for all of us. You know, I think as a general trend, this is a pretty interesting time in the industry. There's lots of different things going on in lots of different spaces. And I like to say this is sort of a transformational time, although in some ways this industry is always transformational, but it feels like this time is more transformational than others. We're having huge movements in terms of the spread of mobile devices, both for consumer and increasingly for business. The movement of big data and the fact that we can now store and process and handle just immense amounts of data that's taking off. Apps and the apps that take advantage of both of those things. And then in particular, the space that I'm particularly interested in is the cloud and how it kind of pulls together a lot of these different pieces and suddenly allows you to build solutions that are far more rich and far more complex than ever before and yet need solutions that help simplify them, help scale them, help you make them secure, and ultimately make you more successful. One of the things that we've talked about at Microsoft a lot for the last year is this vision we call the Cloud OS, which is something that permeates not just sort of our Windows Azure and some of our cloud-specific public cloud solutions, but we're also bringing to our data stack as well as to our on-premise Windows Server and System Center infrastructure. And basically, the goal with this vision is to deliver kind of a common platform that you can use that enables you to transform your data center or transform your data center by, frankly, moving to our data centers. And what are some of the infrastructure components that we can provide that enable you to do that? How do you both store lots of data, but more importantly, unlock the insights within that data that makes your business and your organizations even more successful? How do you enable what we call people-centric IT? This basically is the move from locked-down devices that only IT controls to the world that we live in today, where we all have phones, we all have tablets, and increasingly we're working not just at the office, but we're working on the road, we're working in Starbucks, we're working in lots of different venues. How do we have an IT management story that scales to that, both that meets enterprise needs, but more importantly also meets the needs of the individual employees who in this consumer-driven world have higher expectations than they had in the past in terms of the service they give. And then last but not least, and part of the reason why we're here today, which is how do you take all this infrastructure and ultimately build apps and solutions on top of it? And our kind of goal with this CloudOS vision is to kind of have a consistent platform that you can do all this with that runs both in your own data center and on top of Windows Server and System Center, inside our data center with our cloud using Windows Azure, as well as in partner data centers and solution providers around the world. And to basically have kind of a common stack that you can build towards and know that you always have maximum flexibility, maximum options, so that you can deploy your solutions wherever, or increasingly what we kind of expect is that your solutions are actually going to span all three of these environments, and you need to be able to stitch them together in an integrated way. Windows Azure is our instantiation of a kind of a public cloud environment in our cloud computing platform. And so it's a core piece of this CloudOS vision, and it's something that we're investing very, very heavily on at Microsoft, and you're hopefully seeing a lot of progress in the last year or two, and you're going to see even more progress over the next 12 to 18 months. A lot of people often ask, okay, so what is this public cloud environment? Why should I be interested in Windows Azure? And you know, there's lots and lots of features, and we'll get into some of those a little bit later on in the day, but I want to spend just a few minutes talking about kind of three core themes that we're trying to do with Windows Azure that we think kind of permeates across all scenarios and really kind of plays a key role in this transformation with it going on within the industry. And that is the ability to kind of just move faster. How does your business move faster? How do you execute on opportunities at a faster pace than what you can do today? And we think with the public cloud environment, that provides that type of opportunity. I often do kind of a demo sometimes where, usually to developers, where you know, I often ask them, you know, how long does it take you to stand up a database when you're working on a new project for a dev test environment or just to launch a new solution? And you know, I pull the room, how long does it take? And usually, you know, it ranges from 2 weeks to 2 days. The best I've ever heard is 2 hours. The worst I've ever heard is 2 years. You know, it takes a while sometimes. And I usually go, you know, launch the Windows Azure portal and I say, okay, let's do it. We create a database and it takes about 6 seconds now. And I count in the room and it goes up and people just kind of get stunned by, like, what just happened? Well, we really deployed a database. And you know, the cloud environment lets us do that. And it's not just about time to market for devs, it's also about being able to spin up resources as you need them and be able to use massive amounts if there's an opportunity and be able to turn it off when you don't need it anymore. And so other of our customers that are using the cloud, they actually, in the financial industry, especially since the recent financial problems, you know, being able to kind of understand your risk on your portfolio ends up being a super important thing. And what they actually do is they spin up literally tens of thousands of cores of compute every night and basically do Monte Carlo simulations on their risk portfolio. And before the market opens in the morning, they can actually understand where their positions are. And one of the things that this person I was talking with does is not only does it save them a lot of money, because they can turn off all that infrastructure during the day when they don't need it, but more importantly, it's actually allowing them to enter new markets and to actually take advantage of opportunities in frothy environments. And so if the market looks turbulent, they can actually just spin up even more compute and do even more risk assessments, or they can look at different geo opportunities. And the beauty about being able to do that at a moment's notice, where literally in the morning you can decide to do that, and you can have tens of thousands of cores of processing power within an hour or two that you can go ahead and do, you know, it's just transformational, lets you move faster and get things done at a much quicker pace. The ability to do all this in a flexible and consistent environment, so you can build these solutions and run them in our clouds, but you can also go ahead and run them within your own cloud or within a partner cloud, also means that all the skills that you're building for Windows Azure are ones that you can leverage in lots of different other places. It also means, conversely, all the skills that you're learning on top of your on-premise server environment or within your own data center, you can also now leverage within the cloud. And this sort of flexible and consistent story is something that we think is really important. It's something we're reflecting in lots and lots of different of our products. And we think it's actually key to our BizTalk strategy going forward, where we're going to have a BizTalk server that runs on Windows Server in, again, your data center or someone else's data center, and our BizTalk Services project, which runs inside Windows Azure, where, again, you can run one or the other, or more importantly, we think the flexibility of being able to combine the two ends up being really unique. And at the end of the day, we think it's also about saving money and this ability to spin up and have resources that match exactly what you need, the ability not to have to over-provision infrastructure that sits idle, and the ability to kind of enter markets at a much faster pace can be transformational from a business perspective and ultimately let you make a lot more money. So in terms of where Windows Azure is today, so I mentioned it's going to Windows Azure is Microsoft's public cloud platform. We're deployed around the world, and we have a notion of what we call regions within Windows Azure. And regions basically are clusters of data centers that are close together, often in the same campus or facility. And so when we talk about a region, don't think of it as a data center per se. Most of our regions are now multiple data centers and an enormous amount of capacity. And you can kind of see here on this map sort of some of the places that we're deployed now today. We've actually pretty aggressively expanded in the Asia Pacific Rim over the last several months. We now have announced two new regions in Australia, two new regions in Japan, and we're now operational with two regions in mainland China. We're actually the first cloud provider to enter the mainland China market, and in addition to our existing regions in Hong Kong and Singapore. We've got multiple regions in the United States, including two new regions that we're opening up specifically for the US federal government. And so if you're bidding on federal projects with the federal government, these two new regions are available to you. Any agency can go ahead and take advantage of it. And all the operators have top secret clearance. So you can bid even on sensitive agency projects and run them in an isolated way. We also have multiple regions inside Europe. And the beauty about all these things is all the solutions that you build, you can literally deploy anywhere in the world at the click of a button. And so as we talk about BizTalk services, as we talk about BizTalk server, or any other infrastructure that you ultimately want to run, keep in mind the fact that the world is increasingly flat. And with Windows Azure, you can literally go ahead and deploy that anywhere you want. We've seen a tremendous amount of adoption with Windows Azure over the last 12 months alone. More than 54% now of the Fortune 500 are now actually using and deployed on Windows Azure. And that rate is growing pretty dramatically. We're actually over 1,000 new customer signups per day. And we're seeing kind of a doubling, and in fact, of storage, we're actually seeing a 5x growth over the last few months in terms of storage capacity. We've got more than 400,000 SQL databases are now deployed. More than 170,000 websites are now running in production. And we've processed more than 430 billion Windows Azure Active Directory authentication requests. And so we're seeing quite a bit of good growth. In terms of how we kind of think of Windows Azure in the enterprise, we think with Windows Azure our core sweet spot is organizations and businesses, and enabling them to build solutions both for their internal employees that let them reach their customers, and then also be able to integrate with their partners. And these are some of the kind of core problems that we're looking to kind of enable organizations to very easily solve and build towards. And we have a rich set of features across each of those three dimensions that you can take advantage and leverage in order to do it. On the infrastructure side, we now provide the ability for you to spin up virtual machines, again, in any of those regions around the world, and basically run any workload within them. And so you can run Windows, you can run Linux, we support SQL, we support BizTalk Server, we support SharePoint, we support pretty much all the Microsoft package products. We've also recently been partnering with a lot of other non-Microsoft vendors. And so one of the things we're actually pretty excited about is a partnership that we've announced with Oracle, Where now all the Oracle software is fully certified on Windows Azure. And we're, in fact, the only cloud other than Oracle's that officially supports and is certified by Oracle to run their solutions. In addition to kind of virtual machines, we also have rich networking capabilities. One of the things we've also kind of announced recently is the ability for you not only to set up a virtual private network between your on-premise facility and us, but also to do that over private fiber. And so you can go ahead and set up a private fiber link directly to our data center, which means that none of your data flows over the public internet. And you can do that now with both MPLS-based solutions, which a lot of enterprises already have deployed, which means you can literally set up that private fiber connection in days. Or you can also go with Equinox and bridge through them. The end result, hopefully, is a lot of infrastructure you can leverage, spin up, spin down, on demand, pay only for what you use, and you pay only for the minutes that you use it. And ends up being kind of a super cost-effective way for you to go ahead and literally run anything inside of our environment. On top of this, then, we built a number of what we call kind of platform-as-a-service capabilities, which are managed services that we deliver that enable you to basically build your applications without having to worry so much about the plumbing and the core infrastructure within them. And what this means is you don't have to patch them. You don't have to actually worry about HA because it's implemented at the service level, and we provide an enterprise-grade SLA that you can take advantage of. And some of these in the data space, as an example, include kind of our managed SQL database solution, our managed Hadoop installation. So you can go ahead and spin up a Hadoop cluster, give us MapReduce jobs, and we'll process them for you, as well as our table and blob storage system, which lets you store literally petabytes or hundreds of petabytes in some cases of data in any unstructured way, and you can basically then go ahead and process it however you want. And then on top of this, we have a number of what we call application services that are provided by the platform that enable you to build modern business applications, and there's a rich set of capabilities that are within that. You know, some are backends for you to build, easily build web apps or websites, to be able to build mobile backend solutions so you can reach devices, whether they're iOS, Android, or Windows Phone, or Windows 8, as well as infrastructure that lets you do identity management, so you can enable single sign-on. You can go ahead and do media streaming. And increasingly, this area that we're investing in is around the integration space, which is not only how do I go ahead and build raw applications, but how do I integrate them with others, and how do we compose them so that I can actually have them work and span lots of different environments and lots of different partners. And so, you know, one of the sets of things that we've been kind of investing very heavily in is BizTalk Services, which is a managed version of BizTalk that runs in the cloud and can help orchestrate all of these things and enable you to kind of build both EDI, EAI, and partner solutions. You know, one of the things I do want to point out, though, even before we drill into what is BizTalk Services, is the fact that, you know, BizTalk Services is one of just several in this space that we're providing and integrating together. We also have service bus capabilities for core messaging. We have workflow capabilities for allowing orchestration, identity services with Active Directory. We've recently announced an acquisition of a company called Epiphany that provides API management. Which we also think is going to be critical as part of this EAI, as EAI moves increasingly to the cloud and mobile, and will compose really nicely with BizTalk Services, and also enables you to go ahead and basically publish APIs in the cloud, meter them, and be able to do rich orchestration of them as part of your enterprise solutions. And the cool thing is, there's an awful lot of customers that are now taking advantage of it. These are just some of the customers that are deployed on Windows Azure today, that are primarily all enterprise-based. And what I thought I'd do is actually just kind of let one of these customers talk in their own words about how they're using Azure, and specifically how they're taking advantage of Windows Azure BizTalk services in order to power their business. And this company here is Mimio, they provide publishing services to a number of large technology companies. So for example, if you wanted to take a bunch of pictures and put them in a photo album, and then ultimately print a book and have it be delivered, they ultimately are providing the back-end print services that actually do the printing of that book. And what they wanted is the ability for them to actually integrate their print services with a variety of different vendors and retail outlets that are actually handling the customer-facing interaction. And what they did was they actually spun up BizTalk Services very early during the preview and they're now running all of their EDI transactions throughout it. And so what I thought I'd do is just actually have them talk a little bit about what they're doing and some of the reasons they're doing it.
We started a new business where we were going to expose the Mimio production platform to our partners. And these partners were going to use ERP systems, massive transaction systems, and produce tremendous volumes of orders. So we were used to managing, you know, smaller orders from our current customer base, and now we're going to have to do this on a massive scale. We were also going to start to integrate with ERP systems, so EDI was something brand new to us.
So Mimio originally reached out to us. They had a need to integrate with one of their largest business partners. A lot of their printing volume came from them, and their requirements to do business was to bridge these legacy protocols, EDI, ES2. So they reached out to us to work on a solution that would allow us to use EDI and ES2 in Azure.
The new technology we're using with Azure and Service Bus and the BizTalk layer has provided a great change. In that no longer do we need to do dedicated one-to-one integrations with every integrated partner. We can actually use a much more common strategy and ability to bring people on board through this BizTalk layer, which really provides a simplification. I think the business benefit to us has been, if nothing else, the time to integration has been radically reduced.
We're using the BizTalk services. The customer can now go to a portal which is user-friendly. They can add the trading partner into the portal. They can onboard them very fast and very effectively. And that's cut down that time to about a day or two, where they can put an endpoint up that the customer can now hit the endpoint and send messages, orders, and other things through to Mimio in a seamless way.
When we found that the Microsoft Stack, BizTalk, Azure, Service Bus, we found a platform that could deal with not just the integration points and EDI, stuff that we didn't know anything about, had a ready-made platform for that, but we also found the scalable solution to host it on. The big benefits that we got from this implementation was flexibility. Flexibility in the Azure infrastructure allows us to scale when we need to. It's a very seasonal business, and so we need to scale it up and then shut it back down. It also, the flexibility of BizTalk allows us to use any protocol for connectivity.
Some trading partners want to send FTP messages, some want to send web services, some want to send AS2. The Microsoft BizTalk services solution allows them to bridge the gap between those different protocols to one single solution.
The flexibility of Service Bus allows us to, again, move those applications, and their connectivity now is seamless. It can run inside our firewall, outside our firewall, anywhere we need to.
Beyond the capabilities of the technology, what we've really enjoyed is Microsoft's environment of support, the people that help us out. We love the fact that there's consistency across the platforms and across the products, that there are people out there in the Microsoft area that if we do have an issue are willing to jump in and help and solve it. And that part of it, it's not necessarily seen when you're going through the tech details of, you know, what the particular products or services are, but it's become a very valuable component of our Microsoft relationship, to the point where the company is now structured around Microsoft products across the board at all layers of our stack.
And so specifically with BizTalk services, we provide a rich set of capabilities that you can host in the cloud. And so if you haven't already seen it, I think you'll see some demos a little bit later on today. What it enables you to do, amongst other things, is very quickly spin up a BizTalk services environment that you can immediately start using for business. One of the things that often when I talk to people and ask, how long does it usually take in order to deploy a high availability BizTalk solution? It's often a non-trivial task in order to get it right and set it up and make sure that you have not only it set up, but you can actually instrument kind of a patching and overall HA solution that you can depend on. With BizTalk services, you can actually get a deployment up in an HA environment on the web in literally a matter of about 10 minutes. And from that point on, then you can really focus on the problem at hand, which is how do you actually go ahead and integrate your business and really work on your business solution, as opposed to necessarily having to worry through a lot of the infrastructure pieces in order to actually handle it. With BizTalk services today, we focus really on two core value propositions. One is around enabling cloud EDI processing, like you heard from Mimio, so that you can set up kind of B2B relationships in a really easy way. And one of the cool things that we've integrated as part of the solution is a nice partner management portal that goes with BizTalk services. So not only can you go ahead and use our management portal to spin up a BizTalk instance and be an administrator that can actually control that, but you can also then have folks that are not focused on the infrastructure, but are really focusing on the core partner management and integration, be able to actually handle the workflow and the partner relationships that particular company has with others. And all that's integrated and provided as part of the product. We're also then have added cloud EAI solutions, so you can also go ahead and easily reach on-premise solutions in the cloud. So for example, if you want mobile devices or you want to build a mobile solution that connects back to that SAP system or some other system in your on-premise environment, it provides a really easy way to set up bridges to do that. And you can also go ahead and develop it using Visual Studio and .NET. And increasingly going forward, you'll see us be able to use this EAI solution not just to reach and integrate on-premise environment assets, but also integrate with SaaS-based solutions as well. And have a really powerful cloud-based EAI stack that you can leverage literally anywhere in the world and integrate across any solution. So we're pretty excited with kind of the capabilities. We first kind of announced that we were going to do BizTalk services actually at the BizTalk Summit last year, and we showed some very early bits. We shipped a preview of it about 6 months ago or 5 months ago now and got some really good feedback and incorporated a lot of that feedback into the product. And one of the things I'm excited to announce this morning is in about 35 minutes, it'll be live on the web in general availability form. And this means it's production ready, it's backed by an enterprise SLA, full Microsoft support on top of that, and you can start going ahead and taking advantage of it worldwide immediately. Other nice thing about it is, you know, if you've got a company and you're already trained in BizTalk, it works great with BizTalk, and it works great with BizTalk Server. So it doesn't require BizTalk Server. You can actually spin up BizTalk services completely independently. But the nice thing is it actually integrates with an on-premise environment. And I think one of the things that's kind of, you know, encouraging to see is some of the momentum that people are starting to pick up on it. You've heard from customers. Also, this is from Jess, who I believe is here actually at the summit you can talk to. Who you know, has some really nice things to say in a recent report, and I think, you know, this sort of both from the customers, from the press, and from analysts, you know, hopefully you're also seeing a sense of momentum and movement that hopefully is really positive in this space from us. And ultimately, you know, one of the things I like to say is code talks, and hopefully our code is starting to talk, and you're going to start to see more and more improvements on a steady cadence. Through both our services and our server efforts on a pretty regular update path. In terms of from a roadmap perspective, as I mentioned, you know, already BizTalk Services is now available in GA. Also available in GA is our service bus infrastructure that we've had in Windows Azure for a while. And then also, we've more recently also shipped our BizTalk Server 2013 release, as well as our host integration 2013 release as well. And so all of those things are available that we shipped this year. And you can take advantage of, again, both on-premises and in the cloud. You can use them entirely on-premises, entirely in the cloud, or you can bridge the two together in really interesting ways. And so, you know, that's all available today. Going ahead, you're going to see us continually make improvements to our on-premises BizTalk server solution. And so you'll see a regular set of updates where we're going to be improving that. And adding even more services and capabilities with it. You're also going to see us do regular updates of our Windows Azure BizTalk service and service bus components. The beauty about a cloud environment is the fact that we can actually update it fairly regularly. Most of our Azure services actually update and do feature releases you know, every month, sometimes every week, sometimes every day, depending on kind of the cadence or the type of solutions within the market. And I think what you'll generally see with BizTalk services, pretty much every few weeks or at least every quarter, you're going to see a steady set of updates and enhancements to the core product. And because it's provided by us as a service and it runs in an HA form, you don't actually have to take down your solution as we roll out these updates. They're all seamless updates that just continually make the product better and better. And I think what you'll find is also then on the cloud space, Lots and lots of improvements happening. Again, you can use them entirely in the cloud. You can use BizTalk entirely on-premise. But we think the real magic's going to start to happen when you can actually link the two, take full advantage of this CloudOS vision, and really deliver integration solutions and partner solutions that you couldn't deliver before. So what I'd like to do is invite Vivek from the team up on stage to talk a little bit about the product we just shipped and also kind of some of the plans we have going forward. And hopefully leave you with a good sense of some of the capabilities and some of the opportunities that you now have starting today. And look forward to seeing the solutions that hopefully we can all build together on top of it. So thank you again for coming to the conference and the summit. We're really looking forward to spending more time with you. And hope you are excited about some of the great things that we'll be talking about later today. So thank you.
Thanks, Scott. So my name is Vivek Dalvi. I work on BizTalk Server and Services team. It's kind of great to see a room full of people here. I remember being part of the last year's BizTalk Summit, and we talked about, I think, beta of BizTalk 2013 and preview of BizTalk Services. It's been kind of busy year. This year we shipped in March BizTalk Server 2013. In April, I think we made BizTalk on Azure VM available. June, we went preview with BizTalk Services, and you just heard Scott saying, you know, we just went live. So it's been pretty interesting and busy year. Some of you have been involved, you know, helping us, guiding us, so really appreciate it, and thank you very much. So Scott kind of talked about at a broader level how we see cloud evolving. I want to take some time talking about how do we see BizTalk evolving. So about a year and a half ago when we started talking to customers about how we want to approach this problem, there are a couple of things that came out very clearly. First part was on-premises reality. Lots of integration solutions are on-premise. And there are multiple reasons why they are on-premise. BizTalk often learns very mission-critical loads. These are high business impact solutions. Like number of times I've heard, you know, customer talking, saying, this part of the application moves $1 billion here, and if it stops, it kind of hurts. So this kind of applications, when customers are thinking about this kind of applications, they kind of take it more seriously than buying a phone. So they kind of tend to think about where is this going in next 5 years, next 10 years. There are lots of existing investments in this space. And before customers start to think about anything else, they want to see how exactly the roadmap is looking for next 4 or 5 years. There are many other reasons why people are on-premise. There are legal reasons, you know, laws of country. Many of you work in specific industries which have their own compliance reasons. Like BizTalk has been very successful with the healthcare industry and excuse me, that kind of data going outside on-premise is kind of a big deal. At the same time, when we talk to a bunch of customers, almost all of them have cloud on their mind. The question when we talk to customer is never if they are moving to cloud. It's always how are they gonna move to cloud. They're all trying to figure out within the limits of their business context, industry context, you know, lots of limitations on how we figure out exactly how we're gonna move to cloud. We do believe cloud will be a disruptive change. And that's for a couple of reasons. I think integration solutions have always been associated with long cycles, time to market. They're costly. Like I've talked to customers where a big enterprise customer where acquiring a machine can take 3 months. And I've talked to customers yesterday actually, who's in this room, said changing a firewall setting can take me 3 months. Well, cloud can dramatically reduce some of those cost of implementing a solution or cost of taking the application to market. Second place where I think cloud will help is the scalability part. A lot of these businesses have fluctuating demands. Maintaining that kind of infrastructure on-premise can be expensive. Third place I think where cloud will help is kind of very core to integration. Integration has always been about connecting data sources. And there are lots of data sources now are moving outside the boundary of on-premise. So as we go forward, lots of these databases, they move outside the boundary of your on-premise. It kind of tend to make sense. Some of those cases, your integration moves with it. There will be integration cases where you are connecting to one cloud source to another cloud source. In that case, it does make sense to move integration on the cloud. So when we think about these two trends, that's how we landed into, we need to keep on investing in BizTalk Server. There are lots of on-premise customers, and their business depends on it. At the same time, we want to start building the integration stack for the future. And that's where Azure BizTalk Services came in. When we started thinking about what are the things that we should keep in mind when we are building this product, there are a few trends came. First was, experience matters. Well, integration problems are very complex. The kind of applications you connect to, the kind of business processes we're dealing with, or the mere fact the heterogeneous nature of the enterprise, enterprise intranet. Integration problems are complex, but solutions don't have to be. Some of the things about connecting one application to other application can be easy. How you onboard a partner can be easy. So that is something that we were gonna keep in mind as we design the stack for the future, where we want to make sure we make things easy when it don't have to be complex. Second trend we are seeing is adoption of SaaS. There are lots and lots of applications that are moving to cloud. Websites are moving to cloud for enterprises. Emails are moving to cloud. Office 365 is one of the fastest growing product. So there are things that are moving to cloud, and as part of it, one of the things we need to make sure is we talk the language. We support those protocol. We support the way, different ways of authentication. It's interesting, while there are lots of applications moving to cloud, some applications are not moving to cloud that fast. Hopefully they'll take 5 years, 10 years, maybe they will never move. So if you take these two trends together, if you take a trend of software, some software is moving to cloud, and some software is gonna stay on-premise, what you land with is a hybrid world. There are a set of things that you want to connect to cloud, there are a set of data sources that are on-premise. One of the things we want to keep in mind is though data sources have moved, it's still part of the one process. We want to see them as one application. What that means is when developer is building for those, they see a unified tooling that lets them connect those two data sources. When admins are managing that application, they see a unified management tooling. Fourth one that we want to keep in mind is out-of-box experiences. These systems are all about connecting to different systems. We would like our customers to have a broad range of options available. If I want to connect to application one, I should be able to just drag and drag an adapter. I want to write less code. I want to config things. Well, how are we gonna make so many things available to our customers? Because you guys are well aware of, there are just hundreds of those applications that are available. We neither have time nor resources, and most of all, we don't have expertise to build all of that. That brings us to the last trend, which is extensibility. We want to build this platform in a way where every layer of it is extensible. We want to leverage you guys to bring some of that value to our platform. One of the principles that we will build extensibility is first-party experience for third-party components. That means the way Microsoft's adapter looks, the way our adapters handle connections, is the same experience a third-party component should get. With this, we plan to boot up an ecosystem where you can build adapters, you can build process templates, you can build maps. There are all kinds of components that will be available, and hopefully we can create a marketplace where actually ultimately customers will benefit from it. So when we think about these key trends and start thinking about what kind of scenarios we want to target for BizTalk services, there are a few things that came in mind. So we already landed that these are the kind of deployment scenario customers might have. They might have purely on-premise solutions, they might have a hybrid solution, And in some cases, they might even have pure cloud solutions. When context of integration, we looked at it in three buckets of scenario. The first bucket was EAI. This is about connecting two applications. And as part of that, you will have rich message processing with integration engine. We will also provide common integration patterns. Some of them we will provide. Some of them folks in this room will help us provide. Second bucket is B2B. This is about connecting to your partners. This bucket of scenarios is very interesting because we believe by nature this is amenable to moving to cloud. You're already crossing the boundary of your on-premise world to connect to something outside it. But there are so many verticals with, you know, slight nuances or big differences of process. Each one of them have their own schemas, own protocols. We are not expert in all that. So we will provide the platform for B2B, which is extensible by some of the partners so that they can build vertical solutions on top of it. These two solutions are already available as part of GA. Today, the BizTalk services that is available, you can connect to two applications or you can connect to your partner. The third solution that we will be introducing over the next 1 year will be BPM. And this is where you can model and manage long-running business processes. When we talk to customers, often the actual act of transforming a format or connecting to a business partner is part of a bigger process. You kind of want to view when the order comes in, there's a set of processes that run, and after that, I push it to my backend system. We would like to provide a solution where you can model that entire business process. As part of that, we will be introducing workflow in our solution. So a lot of people, actually, a couple of weeks ago, there was a thread going on MVP discussion earlier about what exactly is going to happen to workflow and what is BizTalk. Well, workflow will be part of BizTalk. That will be the engine that will be behind BPM solution we have. But these three scenarios that customers are trying to solve, and they're spanning across cloud, hybrid, or on-premise, that's great, but that's not enough. What we would like to have is a common management stack, a common tooling stack, a common infrastructure stack, which actually spans across these three solutions, these three scenarios, so that when I'm building EI, when I'm building B2B, or defining my entire business process, I'm dealing with the same set of tools. When I deploy them, I'm managing them with the same set of tools. They also should go vertically. That means if I'm deploying it in cloud, or if I'm deploying on my premise, or this process is hybrid, that should be kind of hidden away from me. I'm managing my business. I'm going to focus on that problem. So that was all like where we expect to be in another few years. So question comes, how do you execute towards that vision? How fast can you trade, right? There are a few things that I want to talk about, the BizTalk server and services. We've just released BizTalk 2013, which was a major release of BizTalk server. I think it was after 3 years of BizTalk server. We plan to release major release of BizTalk server every 2 years. And this is a commitment from us. This, we are picking 2 years because to do a significant amount of work in a BizTalk server, we do need 2 years. There's another angle. I think we need to give customers time to adopt new technology. So we would have major release of BizTalk server every 2 years. Between those 2 years, we will have a minor release of BizTalk server. This is mainly to focus on catching up the platform update. BizTalk server or any of the servers used to release every 2 to 3 years because underlying platform used to update. Now, lots of these platforms are iterating on a yearly basis. We do need to make sure the BizTalk server stays on the latest of the platform. So minor releases will be focused on more platform updates, and we will pick key features. We'll pick a theme for that. But that is something that will go every 2 years as well. So you'll have a major release, and minor release. In fact, as part of this, we released in March 2013, we released BizTalk 2013. We're committed to ship the R2 of 2013 in the first half of 2014. As part of that, we also do cumulative updates. We will go through all supported versions of BizTalk, and we'll ship a cumulative update for each one of them every quarter. So one quarter we ship 2013, one quarter we'll ship 2010. This is to make sure the people who are adopting our problems, whenever they're hitting a major critical issue that is blocking the adoption, we can help them, we can fix them. So major release every 2 years, minor release every 2 years. That means every year we are having a BizTalk release. You're gonna have cumulative update. I hope this convinces people that we are behind BizTalk. Okay? And server, on services side, we plan to refresh much more often. We will refresh at least every 3 months. And that means lots of new features that we'll be talking about further in this presentation as well as throughout the next 2 days, some of them will be coming to you a lot faster. We don't have to wait for another year. So while we are talking about before we talk about the next set of features that we are thinking about, and play a small video for the customer that just went live. It's a company called Codit. They have been our partners since very, very early days, since we began. And play a video and see how they're using BizTalk Search.
Marine Harvest is the world's largest salmon producer. We produce about 1/3 of the world production. Marine Harvest have a lot of different ERP systems, and we also have different processing systems. So integration between these, both for intercompany purposes, but also towards our customers for order handling, is really important.
It's important for us to have a managed service contract with our provider to manage basically the operation of the integration. So that's a 24/7 help desk to detect errors, etc., and correct them if something happens. The other part was managing a physical environment at Codit premises. Now we're changing that contract to moving to an Azure cloud environment instead. So the managed service components stay the same, but they're operating out of an Azure platform instead. For us, that's very important because we move now from worrying about the versions of the systems, capacity on the systems, to a more flexible and dynamic environment. The main advantages on Azure platform is that it's a scalable platform that can grow as we go as a company. It is a very secure platform, and we get it at a lower cost.
First of all, we selected technology for our integration platform, the choice was BizTalk from Microsoft. And then we asked Microsoft which partners they can recommend to help us. Codit in Belgium came up as one alternative. The most good thing with Codit is that they are specialized only in integration. So most other partners we have had in the area, they are having a lot of different services, which is then difficult then to get the right focus. So with Codit, we have a good crew of people who is focusing only on integrations.
With that, I would like to invite Sam Van Hitt from Codit. Sam is the CTO of Codit. They're also one of our first partners who are already live on BizTalk services, and you can hear from him how they are using BizTalk services.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Very nice to be here and to see a lot of familiar faces. A lot of people are here since 10 years already, so it's very nice to see the common faces and a lot of new ones. What brought me here is, in fact, the thing that we have been building on Windows Azure BizTalk services and Windows Azure in general since the very first beginning. It's like 3 years ago that we started this effort, and that was actually Integration Cloud, and that's what I will be talking about a little bit. So for people who don't know us, we are located in Belgium, France, and Portugal. So typically, Western Europe is our market, and we work international, and we focus really on Microsoft technology, and that's the integration aspects. If you want to follow me on Twitter, don't hesitate. And of course, we have quite some blog posts, mostly technical. So very happy to invite you there. And of course, we are part of the Impact Alliance, which I definitely wanted to mention here. So what we have been building is called the Integration Cloud. And the main idea was that we wanted to provide integration as a service, a real managed service to our customers, from development over analysis to the real operations and the real managed services of it. So we wanted to do that on Windows Azure BizTalk services from the beginning because we saw Microsoft is going to the cloud and we wanted to be, let's say, on the early train. And for that, we have built on top of that and we wanted to add valued services. So for example, the managed services part, Microsoft is taking care of the infrastructure for us. They do the managed services of all the availability and all of that. But we wanted to add more for customers because they, of course, want to have their flows managed. If a message is stuck, that's what we wanted to manage. So that's the thing that we add there. And then secondly, we have value-added services on top of it. And one of them is, for example, the e-invoicing. So in Europe, there's a trend that, for example, invoices have to move to an electronic way just to be faster and more legally compliant. But there's a lot of rules, a lot of legislations that we have to do. So we built on top of the EDI part of BizTalk services, we added the e-invoicing part. And also business reporting. So we have customers that move all their data, all their infrastructure to us. And they want to have an insight, of course, and that's what we do, we push data. So we build on BizTalk services, but of course, not every single aspect was possible. One of the things is EDIFACT. So we wanted to extend, so we have some custom-built features on top of that, but we work very closely together with the product team, so we know, for example, EDIFACT might be coming soon, so we will be able to switch to the platform. So we will evolve with the platform, really, on that level. We also have the portal that we extended, so it's a custom portal that I'll be showing in a demo. So the first go-live customer is SMT Shipping. I'll be talking more on their business scenarios after this. But we are live with them since TechEd Europe, so that's end of June this year. And they actually have data centers in Netherlands and in Cyprus, where the financial system resides, for probably obvious reasons. And we connect to their different data centers using, for example, the adapter service in the Netherlands. And of course, we need to connect to file transformation. So that's what we do through a custom service with the service bus relay. But what we get the data, orders, invoices from their local systems. We process them in the cloud. We have transformation in the BizTalk bridges that you will definitely see in the coming days. We validate and transform, and we really deliver it. So if you can switch the screens, then I'll be going to the portal that we have built. And I'd like to show a quick demo, without going too much into details, but really showing the value that we have created. So this is the portal that we log on, and I just hope that there's not too much people downloading all these nice tweets and pictures from this event, so that the connection is fast enough. So the main portal that we show is really you have a homepage and people can see basic statistics. And one of the things that pops out immediately is custom reports. So for example, you can open custom reports like these, where you see an overview of all the invoices. So the data that you see here is really coming from the tracking database that's behind BizTalk services, but we bring it in a more user-friendly, business-oriented manner, because that's what interests those people. And what's very important is that we push those reports, because we just know that the customer is not coming and getting them. They have access to 15 portals. So we push them through email, we schedule them. So people who want can just subscribe on these reports. A quick demo I'd like to do is an EDI one. So I have an EDI file here. And if I open it, this the highlighted thing is the reference. It's like the order number. So this is an order that I will be sending. It's EDIFACT. And as you know, EDIFACT at this point is not supported with BizTalk services. So that's why we have still a BizTalk in the back. We know that it's coming, that BizTalk can be removed. So that's the way we work. We will gradually evolve. So this is the reference. I will save it. And the next thing is, of course, I will upload it to the FTP server. So there is an endpoint listening. The file will be picked up, will be processed. So if I do a refresh here, the file is gone. And the file itself should be transformed and processed, and we deliver it to a local system in our data center. And that system is Dynamics AX. So there we use the BizTalk adapter service running here. And if I do a refresh, we should be seeing here WAPS. So the data itself was delivered from the cloud to this local system in our data center, and the connection was made. So how do we do that? That's by combining all these services. So we have service bus relay capability from the Windows Azure platform. We have, of course, the BizTalk services bridge for all the transformation and things like that. But if you want to have a look in the what's behind the scenes, then we can go to the tracking. And the tracking portal itself is really showing, if internet connection allows us, is really showing what happened. We can see a replay of the messages and a replay of the flow. I'll keep this loading. In the meantime, let's show the added value screen that we also have built for the business. So we have people that are typically the accountancy department, or even, and that's the legal thing, the e-invoicing that we had, people from the tax consultants or tax audit. If you have like, you need to show your paper invoices, but if you have electronic only invoices, you have to give access to the people who control and do tax audits. So that's the portal that we have built. And of course, they don't want to have GUIDs, and they don't want to have EDI. They want to see something that they understand. So for example, if I do a find here, I can see the invoice line with a very simple view. And if I click on it, then we again show a basic friendly representation of this invoice, or this order in this case. What we also have to do for legal reasons is show the actual file that we received from the order, from the customer, because if that customer is sending, wants to discuss that he didn't send an order of 1,000 but an order of 10,000, we need to show that. And that's what we do here, so the invoice that we have received, the one that we sent. And if, for example, we would use AS2, you probably know that you have MDN, that's like the real acknowledgement you get back, and that's legally binding. We would show it here too. So the BizTalk services is having AS2 connection, the MDN would be here. In the meantime, my tracking was open. So this is more of the detailed tracking that people in our office and managed services office are using. So if you, for example, see here the Windows WAPS GA, we can have a representation of the view. So this is the real order flow. The data came in, and we can see the message if we want. So this was the EDI file. We had a workflow, so it's very nice to see that workflow is coming. We will move all of that, but we wanted to start early, so we had it customized. The plan is to really evolve there. So I have delivered it to my Dynamics AX locally. What I will do also, or what I also have done, I delivered it to SharePoint Online. So I hope my my library is open here, and if I do an F5, I should see on top a new PDF actually that we have created. So we used the custom code capabilities, the extensibility points that we have with BizTalk server, BizTalk services bridges. So if I do a modified by, you can see the file here 4 minutes ago. And if I open it, you will see in the signature panel that the file has been signed. And that's also another thing that we have to do for e-invoicing. We have to make a signature to timestamp the PDF document. We have a little warning because it's in this case a self-signed for this demo. But that's what we do. So, and that's using the custom extensibility points. And if there's one thing that we have given as feedback to Microsoft and that they really take up, is that extensibility is important. If you do integration, and I'm happy that most of you do that, you know that you have to be able to put in hooks, because XML is not always XML for customers, and that's really the thing that we wanted to do here. So with that, I'd like to conclude my demo and switch back to the slides if possible. So at this point in time, we have three customers on this platform. This is the one, Marine Harvest, the one that you saw in the video. So if there's one thing that I learned from them, I think it's 2 or 3 years ago that we were there, the first meeting. And the first meeting, they said, there's nothing as urgent and as dead fish. And that's really what we remembered. It's fresh food, and it's really important. It has to be reliable. It has to be always up. So cloud was really important there and was really an enabler for that. So it's a big customer because they have 30% of the salmon production. And they are moving all these orders over the platform and have now their master data management. It's all running in the same platform. And they wanted to have full outsourcing. So they want to focus on their business and their analysis, and all the rest should be moved to the, an outsourced managed services platform. This is the one that we do the e-invoicing with. So Zespri, you might know them. It's the biggest kiwi fruit brand. And there it's really the e-invoicing. So they have a BizTalk server in their data center, but for those legal reasons, they wanted to move the e-invoices because they have to be archived for 10 years, they have to be retrieved and all of that. So they wanted to move that to the cloud. And what's very important there, they wanted to start small. They had one partner, one invoice, and they set that up. But now they are familiar with it. The basis is there. So we can really evolve and have new partners added very rapidly through this nice platform. And then, of course, we had SMT, the current go-live customer on BizTalk services. So they really were a very nice customer to start with because they were doing a lot of things manual, extracting data from one system, printing it on paper, sending it or walking to the other department, delivering it, and entering the data in the new system. So, of course, that's very open for integration. They were losing a lot of data. Data was not always up to date, And what's also nice is that they had these different data centers. I talked about Cyprus data center, Netherlands data center, and there's no WAN or LAN connection between. So that really is very helpful in cloud integration because you have to build a specific connection anyway. So the result of the product was that they now saved up 35% of six people's time, and they can really invest that in, instead of entering the data, working with the data and analyzing the things, and that's what they wanted to have. Also, the synchronization between systems. Sometimes it took weeks or close to a month before they have the data in the other system. Now it's a matter of seconds, right? So that's really the things that that were important. And then, of course, it mustn't be a black box for them. So we really send reports to the mailbox of the right customers, so they have an overview of all the transactions and all these things. And again, it started small, but they can grow. And that's the nice thing with cloud. So to wrap up, the benefits for our customers are clear. I think, as Marine Harvest also mentioned, it's really a lower TCO. They don't pay that big cost. It's really easy to start and to grow. There's no license concerns for them. So it was all outsourced to us. And it's a matter of growing. The good thing is also that in-house technical skills is not something they needed because they could rely on some partner with all the expertise. And for us, of course, working with Microsoft, it was a lot of iterations, a lot of feedback. But we were able, because of this cloud thing, to provide integration as a service in a more multi-tenant scenario. And that's important instead of setting up a specific BizTalk for every new customer that we want to host. We have this platform that we can easily scale depending on the number of customers that we have. So that's really maybe the biggest differentiator is that we can now have the easy multi-tenancy platform that is scalable towards the future. So with that, I'd like to thank you and hand the word back to Vivek. If you have questions, don't hesitate to catch me later on the conference. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Sam.
I always love salmon and kiwi, and now I love bulk cargo too. but it's a great example. I think we've been working with these guys for a long time. it's fantastic to see customers going live. So in the first half, we talked about, you know, how we are thinking about longer term, how we see platform evolving. We saw the customers who are taking advantage of it. For the second half, I want to spend a little bit of time about take the inventory of where we are, what are the short-term things coming up, you know, those things and that kind of things. So we shipped BizTalk 2013 in March of this year. Other than platform updates, we also introduced BizTalk in IIS. In getting a BizTalk environment up and running is now, you know, a matter of few clicks, and you get it from the library. We also improved some of the tooling. We added artifact dependency tooling, where you can see which schema is being used by which pipelines. We also include a simplified setup of ESB toolkit. In the main runtime components, we added support for REST, we added support for SFTP, we did performance improvements, such as XLT compile transform. There are pieces where we saw BizTalk server being on-premise can still leverage cloud. You can still connect to service bus on cloud. You want to monitor your queues, topics. We added that functionality. In B2B part, we of course did the schema updates, but we also did healthcare being one of the core areas for BizTalk. We did MLLP adapter improvements, ordered port improvements, the performance improvements. But that was a major release. So what is coming up in R2? We'll do platform alignment, of course, that's the goal of doing R2. It will also have all the cumulative updates that we have shipped over the last 1 year. There are a couple of cumulative updates that went for 2013. We also did health information exchange update for the new healthcare. We also planning to do adapter improvements. One of the big thing in adapters was REST adapter. One of the feedback that we got was we want to introduce JSON as part of the REST adapter. We'll do proxy support, which is kind of enterprise features for SFTP. Today, we connect to USB server using ACS. We would also add integrated Windows Auth as part of the authentication. There are a bunch of these features that I'm talking through. Actually, there is a session in the afternoon today where Rajesh will be talk about it. We'll talk about these features in a lot more details. For B2B, we've seen a huge uptake of BizTalk server in the healthcare area. So we want to kind of, that would be the theme of R2 release as well. 64-bit MLLP has been long-standing ask. We'll introduce that. We'll introduce updates of schemas as well. This is something we plan to focus over the next few releases. Some of you have asked for these features, so I'm not gonna go through the details of these features. This is something, as I said earlier, will be available to customer in the first half of 2014. We also released BizTalk Services GA. The biggest innovation actually was in the infrastructure. When we talked to customers about how we want to run BizTalk as a service in cloud, what we heard was they wanted isolation, and these are, you know, enterprise customers. They don't want some other person using BizTalk service to either consume too many resources or ability to get access to my data. So isolation was a big deal. Predictable performance. When I'm running my business critical load on a service, I want to make sure it gets processed. I don't want somebody else to hog the resources I have. What the infrastructure that we have built for BizTalk service, this is the first service in Microsoft that actually uses it. We call that dedicated managed infrastructure. I think there is a talk right after this where we'll go into details of that. But what it does is it provides you advantage of an isolated dedicated infrastructure where the compute that you get is only for you. But it also gives you benefit of being it managed. That means we take care of certain things for you that you don't have to worry about as far as the updates goes, as far as, you know, how the service runs, whether your SQL databases are up and stuff like that. In case of toolings, we did improvements in schema editor. We did test map functionality. One of the things that we are trying to address as part of the migration. And there are key pieces of functionality which have been costly to implement, creating agreements in BizTalk servers. And I want to move to BizTalk services. We are building an agreement migration tool. I talked to customers where creating a map can be a very expensive process. And the map format for server was BTM, and versus we are going to a new format called TRFM. We are building a mapper migration tool as part of the SDK. In EI case, we obviously have connectivity using different protocols as well as connecting to typical LOB apps, SAP, Oracle, SQL Server. One of the focus areas for us, as I said earlier, is hybrid connectivity. What we have in WAPS GA is the first step towards that. You can connect your applications from cloud to your on-premise data source. And that's done using something called BizTalk Adapter Services. We also introduced B2B functionality. We introduced AS2, X12, and those are the typical formats that we are in the B2B world. But the biggest improvement has been training management portal. And we have a portal where you can go with a few clicks, you can set up your agreement, which has been kind of time-consuming, complex task in the BizTalk server world. But we also give you API access to that. So you can write code against it, you can drive your business process, and actually create agreements or manage partners. So what's coming in BizTalk services? Let me go through the editions. We have four different editions of BizTalk services. There's a developer edition, which is meant to be used by developers. This is only for dev and test environments. It doesn't have the same production SLA. It's a lot cheaper. It's really, most of the time, it's covered by your MSDN subscription. It has all the functionality of all the editions. There is nothing that there is not in it. So you can use it to build your applications, get started with your BizTalk server, get familiarized with it. I definitely encourage you, for people who have MSDN, go play around with the BizTalk services that just went live. And then we have four different editions. In terms of functionality, right now the premium has archiving. In preview, we actually had EDI only in premium. One of the biggest pieces of feedback we got is they want EDI functionality available in all editions. So that is something we actually changed as part of GA. So EDI is available in all editions now. Cool. Thank you. We listen. So the difference between these three editions are essentially now in terms of how many bridges, agreements you can create more than functionality. When we're thinking about the next set of things that we want to do in BizTalk services, and we just went GA, and this stuff that I'm going to talk today about, its team has already started working on it. We only support ACS authentication today. We'll be actually doing integration with Windows Azure Active Directory. We would also do schedule backup and restore. Today's service actually has, we provide APIs so that you can actually create your backups and restore them. But this feature would actually have a UX as well as you can schedule your backups and restore. Managed service update is something, the best way to describe it, you'll be getting a lot of new features much faster without ever having to worry about whether something broke. So that's something we will take care of for you. As soon as we build a feature, it will be available for you. Case of EI, there are in bunch of other cases, you'll see two patterns. There's a set of features. There are smaller improvements, something that we know are missing in the feature set. We're going to iterate on it faster. We're going to get to you as fast as possible. Then there are a set of features that are a little bit long burning. We need to invest now for us to be able to be ready in another 6 months. In the EI stuff, a pull from queue has been a big ask. We cannot pull from service bus queue today. That is something that will come to you in the next release of BizTalk services. We would add things that we're missing, such as derived type supports, adapter service that we install to actually connect to on-premise. We would make it a little bit lighter weight to install and better experience. But the one big area that we're investing in is adapter extensibility. This is where we would like to build the right set of APIs where partners can build their own adapters and plug it into our system. In B2B, Artifact is coming. And that was the top ask from customers. I think Sam just talked about how they would plan to use Artifact when it's ready. Well, that is something that we plan to get to you as soon as possible. Today's ADI, when you create an agreement, underneath the cover, we create a bridge for you to connect. One of the disadvantages of that approach is you can't put custom code in it. So we'll be making sure that you can write your custom code in even EDI B2B bridge. As I said earlier, the biggest investment we're going to do is introducing BPM solution. That means .NET workflow will be available on Azure. We will bring in business rules engine. We'll be building new process designer as well as rules designer. And these are all the features we have started working on. Some of them will be available in short term, some of them will be available a little longer, but all of these features being actively worked on. A lot of people ask, what else is there? And I put some features that we are thinking about. I'm not gonna go through all of them individually, it'll take just too long. You guys should view this as our backlog. And you guys are welcome to add to it. At some point, we would also come back and take your guys to help prioritize which one we should do first. But we see this product in terms of three personas. There is a developer who writes code, builds the application, gives it to IT admin. There's a business analyst who designs the overall process, keeps track of what kind of, you know, what are the business KPIs and monitor them. So when we talk about this functionality, we're gonna talk about it in terms of those personas. So for developers, out-of-box extensibility, adapter is the starting point. We would like to build the entire stack where it's extensible. People can build verticals. People can possibly build their own process templates, their own schemas and maps and make sure they're available. We'd like to build more authentication support. We start with AD. There is other stuff that we would like to use when we are connecting to SaaS systems. We'd like to have unified designer. We would like to have portal and VS symmetry, stuff you can do in VS, you can do in portal, stuff you can do in portal, you can do it in VS. Private cloud, marketplace, enterprise services, there are just too many of those features that we would start working on one by one as we get done with the next set of things that we already talked about. For business analysts, after workflow runtime as well as rules engine, we'll be tackling the problem of business activity monitoring. I see he's happy. We would also continue to invest in business rules. Partner directory is one of the areas where we believe that, you know, the fact that Azure Active Directory has huge number of registrations and, you know, a bunch of enterprises already registered, we can somehow leverage that fact to actually create a partner directory. Self-service onboarding, BizTalk portal today for onboarding partner is pretty easy, but we would like to make sure even the partners can onboard themselves rather than somebody driving it from within the business. From IT admin perspective, we'd like to invest, manage file transfer. Like there are a bunch of people, I think the last 2 weeks even we talked, where they have a need for managed file transfer. Certifications, migration tools. C1, C2 is kind of interesting. I don't know if it's, maybe it's internal term, but when we are building a vertical, we would like to make sure the platform allows the person who build a vertical to manage their own customers. So that means isolation within that dedicated environment. It means billing changes, billing functionality that lets you bill for your customers. There are a whole bunch of features that we are doing. So please help us over the next 2 days, let the conversation go, you know, flow, and we'll talk about what exactly is missing, what should be higher priority, what should be lower priority. There are three things that I would like to leave this keynote with. One is we are behind BizTalk and we are releasing it at regular cadence. R2 is for first half of 2014. BizTalk services will be at a lot faster cadence. We're introducing business process management. There is a deeper talk later in the day where I think Alok and Rajesh are talking about how we think about business process management. Give us your input. You have a lot of experience in that space as well. Extensibility is something that we expect and we hope to partner with you guys. It's something that we would love to get feedback on, but after the feedback, we'd love to see lots of components from you. That's it. We just released GA. You're welcome to play with it and let us know how it feels. Thank you very much.
So thank you very much. We have a quick break now, so an opportunity for you to stretch your legs, and we'll get back in the room in about 15, 20 minutes. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to connecting with you in the foyer during the break. Thanks.